Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
And I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again. Today, our episode, Where Do Aliens Bank?
Oh.
The collapse of the Silicon Valley.
Silicon. Okay, perfect.
Silicon Valley Bank.
Awesome.
The banking crisis, the new banking crisis is our topic today.
Awesome.
Very excited about it. That's where I bank.
Yeah, I just got a check from a client from there the other day. I was like, this shit going to bounce? Mm-hmm. But it went through. I'm rich.
Yeah, well, good. You should have had that history.
I know.
I'm drinking a Crunch Time Lager by Hopfly Brewing, which is our sponsor.
Yeah.
Fantastic brewery out of Rocky Mount, and they have a brewery in Charlotte as well. Definitely check out their beers. Crunch Time Lager is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, however,
yeah.
Branching out today in honor of our guest who we'll introduce momentarily.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Bojangles Hard Sweet Tea. This is 16 ounces of, okay, here you go, 33 grams of sugar. It's like a Coke.
We're
good. 270 calories. But, these are exciting. Everyone around here is excited for these. And, our guest, I often think of him as if Bojangles were a person.
Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah, and I think it fits perfectly. And he went out and grabbed some for himself. So we're just getting loaded up with some Bojangles.
Well, that's a perfect introduction to bring back onto the show. Coming at us for the third time, I believe, a comic out of Asheville, North Carolina, and a friend of the pod. Welcome to the show, Jason Webb.
Do it.
There you go. Oh, here we go.
Howdy.
I got you.
I got it.
Oh, that was cool.
I put it on there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. You have a fake one?
Yeah, I got a fake one all set up for people like you that crack it beforehand.
So how do you feel about Shane?
I opened a second one.
Cheers.
How do you feel about him calling you the living manifestation of Bojangles? That could go both ways. Compliment.
Honestly, I think it's a compliment.
Absolutely.
Because I try to embrace everything Bojangles.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I auditioned for a Bojangles commercial?
Nice.
No way. Like a real spot or like a, because sometimes they do like kind of guest on the street, kind of like.
No. This was me. I would be voicing a catfish and I'd be coming up from the water. And asking this guy, that's pretty good Parmesan cheese,
nice.
On the it was like a new Parmesan, not Parmesan cheese, pimento cheese.
Oh, nice.
They were having that biscuit thing come out, and it was just voiceover and some dish to that. I don't think they ever did because I never saw it.
Oh yeah,
you didn't get paid either, huh?
No, I just auditioned for it.
Yeah, I've had several Bojangles auditions. And every one of them, they're like, use a real accent. Don't make up an accent. I was like, I'm from the Midwest. The only thing I have is a fake Southern accent. And then they're like, make sure it sounds real. And I was like, Bojangles. And they're like, that's not what we want. I'm like, well, that's what you're getting. Because that's what when I need a bow round, I'm like, I'm getting a bow round.
Yeah.
I never get the job.
I think the coolest thing about Bojangles, and this is a compliment to you, is the physical manifestation of said Bojangles. It cuts across all cultural, racial, and sexual identities. And if you're listening and you're like, what is this magic? It's just a fried chicken place.
So good.
If you don't love Bojangles, then I feel like don't come to this country. I feel like it's a real litmus test for everything that's sacred in this country. And
just stay in Iowa. Leave us alone.
Stay away.
We have some really great patrons out west in Arizona, and his kid loves all chicken sandwiches, and he was asking us about the Bojangles sandwich, and I was trying to send him one, but the logistics are, it's a nightmare.
I can't
imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why someone's not just Saturday, Sunday morning, just delivering just hangover packages.
Man, that'd be awesome.
To people in Raleigh with some Bojangles tea and biscuits and fries, because that's what you need.
Yeah.
But I'm cutting back on the sauce.
What's your go-to orders?
Cajun filet biscuit fries. I don't drink sweet tea there.
It's got the highest fecal count of all sweet teas.
It does. It has a lot of fecal matter in there. So I don't.
Yeah.
Well, let me just be clear.
Where'd this web page go?
Yeah, let's all get back of it
on
does.
Topic.
All
There's
of it,
what in the tea?
All of it does.
Poop juice.
all anytime people are using their hands to make a beverage, you're going to end up with a little fecal matter in there.
But are they using their hands? I guess so.
They're brewing it, and so there's that. There's a lot of ways, and we're talking about trace amounts.
Yeah, but if they come out with Bojangles sweet tea eye drops, do not use them. You will get pink eye.
Conjunctive.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Bojangles had the highest of all of them.
Bet you this stuff you're drinking has zero, though.
It's made by a robot. Mm. Yeah. Robots don't poop.
Yeah. Well, I haven't tried it yet. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I just took a sip. Let me give you my... It's earthy. Probably wouldn't get it again.
That's the best review.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's a little peaty. It's got like a weird like...
That's the poop, man. That's
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a weird...
It kind of tastes like a raspberry in a way.
Oh, interesting.
Like a light hint of it. I don't know why.
Kind of
maybe it's the black tea. Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe that's the flavor.
Maybe it's the black raspberry tea that it's made of.
Yeah, it's you know, I prefer a Natterdays better than this, so I'll tell you that.
That's good stuff. Yeah. I like our sponsors' alcohol just because... no, I really do.
But, no, I would choose our sponsors over this any day.
I did choose it. I saw the calorie count.
Yeah, this is not very good.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We're getting through it.
Hey, it's okay. Everybody,
I got 18 of these to drink, by the way.
Find a homeless camp and be a hero, man. You live in Asheville. Find a bridge in Asheville, and I guarantee you'll find people that want it. Mm-hmm. You guys have a...
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody like that comes over. Like, if it's good or not, I'll be like, you got to try. Then they have to finish the whole drink. Yeah. It's like icing someone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you bojoed me.
So, Jason, we're glad to have you on the pod, because assuming you have a pretty big bank portfolio, do you have multiple banks, or are you just kind of a... Do you have a bank at all?
I have a couple banks, couple investment accounts.
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple of everything.
And
just cause, like, I don't trust any one bank.
That's the correct answer.
Do you have any money invested in Silicon Valley Bank, either in the bank as a depositor or as a stockholder in Silicon Valley Bank?
No, I do not.
But are you familiar with the recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank?
Yeah, I've read about it. Okay. Just like passing, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think most people have at least heard about it in passing. Silicon Valley Bank, as the name implies, has maintained a very strong niche market related to Silicon Valley, mostly because they were a capital firm that provided a lot of money to startups. It serves about 65% of all existing startups. And it's probably in some ways the most prominent bank for venture capital in the country. People will differ on like whether it's a big bank or not. I think off the top of my head, I think it's like had $40 billion compared with like Goldman Sachs, which has like almost $600 billion. So
okay.
So like some people will say like, well, it's the 12th largest bank in the country. And I'm like, yeah, but it's sort of like saying like you're in the top 1% of earners in the country. Because the top 10, literally 10, I think I read recently that the top 3 richest people in the world have as much money as 3.5 billion poorest people.
Oh, wow.
Combined.
People power. Good for those poor people.
Yeah.
Making as much money as those people.
So my point is that the top 5 banks in the country are so massive.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot smaller.
Well, it's like we've talked about with this podcast before. It's like, oh, we're in the top 2% of podcasts, but to get to that 0.1 or 0.5, you got to really be much larger and much bigger.
It's the scale is exponential. Yeah, yeah. So it is a big bank, but I'm just saying that like the prognostication of just epic collapse might have been overblown. Well, until today when Credit Suisse collapsed as well. So we're all going down. That's not what this podcast is about. they really brought to the forefront this idea of venture capital, which, as you guys probably know, people that want to make a lot of money and are willing to risk a lot of money on startup companies, which have a really high failure rate. But if you're like, well, we're going to give you, you know, $1 million of venture capital in exchange for 49% of your company. And if you make it big, like on something like Google or something, mm-hmm. well, then you get really, really wealthy.
Sure.
You can make a ton of money. You know where else is really good venture capital, by the way?
What?
Is on Broadway.
Oh, really?
Do you guys know how lucrative Broadway plays, successful Broadway plays
yeah,
are?
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah. Like it costs a certain amount of money to put a Broadway play on. And then once, if it's successful, they run for like ever.
Mm-hmm.
So all these like rich people are like trying to find the next.
Oh, that makes
the
sense.
Next Cats or the next. What's the one that everyone likes? It sucks so bad. Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Hamilton.
Yeah. Everybody's mm-hmm. trying to find that. I mean, if you guys ever want to get rich, we need to write a Broadway show. I don't know. Do you play any instruments, yeah. Jason?
Do what?
Do you play any instruments?
No, not at all. I play a little bit of guitar. I played mandolin for a while.
You look like a mandolin.
It's just one of those
player.
Things I just pick up and put down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like,
so
easy. I
never
got too interested in it.
I think that writing a musical, and I know there's somebody listening that has written a musical or knows someone who has who thinks I'm an idiot, but I think it's I think it's literally the easiest thing to make a ton of money at this point.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't even have to write any songs. You just pick a genre of music or a singer that people know and weave their existing songs into a plot line.
Oh, like Alanis Morissette.
Like Mamma Mia.
Yeah, hey, that's hers.
Oh, yeah.
So you just take...
that would be easy, yeah.
Yeah, that's what
Let's
I'm saying. Is you just
Let's
take,
just pick an album and go for it.
Yeah, right, absolutely. That's it. That's all. Like, you just take Beyonce's songs and you just tell a story with Beyonce's songs.
Oh, yeah.
So then people are like, I love it.
Justin Timberlake Sexy Back album.
Yes.
Future Sex Love Sounds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's so
that's
easy.
That's a hit play.
Yeah. And if you do it, like, essentially the whole game is like, it's just a retelling of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take an urban woman, right, who wants to be a pop star. And she somehow her life collides with a country boy who's really into Randy Travis. And so it's this combination of like mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet push pull, and the songs are all just like, well, I'll break your heart, but it's sung in Broadway style.
Yeah.
And
I would watch that. That sounds dope, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And then like, you know, these are the songs that go with the music. Somebody choreograph it. Here's the dialogue. And you're like, now you're like, hey, this is great. Write another one. That's every fucking Broadway play now.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. Like, to see Travis Tritt on Broadway.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it's all. That's all it is. So that's another venture capital. And Silicon Valley Bank has been really the pioneers of venture capital banks. And all regional banks
mm-hmm.
take depositors' money. And then they invest that in various ways, and then they give you back some of that investment back on your money. Most of that investment for most banks, I don't know if anybody banks with like just some random local bank,
yeah,
First Citizens or something like that.
That's me.
Yeah. Like you're basically in bonds or something. Like your money's in bonds.
Sure.
And it's a very meager interest rate, which is why like you get a note that says like you earned $8 in interest this year. And Jesus. Well, Silicon Valley Bank promised their depositors a much higher return. A lot of people connected to Silicon Valley banked with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, and this isn't even close to what we're talking about today, because we're going to talk about why it happened.
Yeah.
But what happened is, as you guys know, interest rates are surging
mm-hmm.
because of inflation. And so all these startup companies are very speculative. They're heavily leveraged. They owe a lot of debt. And then because of that, their value goes down as inflation and interest rates go up.
Sure. Okay.
Right? Because they're mm-hmm. not worth as much because they're going to owe more.
Mm-hmm.
The debt takes over. And so what happened was Silicon Valley Bank essentially was like, oh, shit, we are over leveraged in these startup companies. Interest rates are rising. We have to borrow money. Mm-hmm. And so they were like trying to borrow money to cover their depositors in the theoretical case if everyone came for their money. Well, people caught wind of that, and that led to a run on the bank. Mm. And that caused it to collapse. And people were like, no, we're not giving you any money. And here we are with this kind of fallout from the bank.
Yeah, now we have a podcast about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a question so far? You guys are like, yeah, this is, yeah.
No, you spelled it out. Yeah. That's what happened.
Well, I will say
I read it, but I kind of got it. I understood it more when you told me what I read earlier.
I will say it's not without controversy because the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, of course, withdrew. So, by the way, Silicon Valley Bank trades on the stock. You can buy shares in the Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm. He sold off $3.5 million worth of his shares because their stock is basically worthless now. The government has said we'll make their depositors whole, the FDIC, who insured them, were like, we'll get everybody their money back.
That's nice.
But the investors, you're shit out of luck.
Well, they're rich people anyway. That's fine.
Not all of them. I mean, there could be some, you know.
Mom and pops.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah. Some pension funds that
I
are
mean,
like.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people are a little pissed that one, that the CEO took $3.5 million off the table.
Yeah.
As if he knew what was going to happen. And two, they paid all their executives like huge bonuses right before the collapse.
That's just how it works, right? You just got to expect that. Everyone's going to be a piece
of shit. You just give yourself a huge bonus every year.
Yeah,
that way, if it's the last year, you know, it's always that same story.
Exactly. Well, we didn't do anything different. It's not like we did it because of the collapse. Yeah. We just always did it.
I can't believe how just bent over grabbing your ankles you guys are. Like, man, people are up in arms about this. Well, you guys are just like, that's how it works. Rich people win.
I don't value money. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I grew up poor, so rich people have always been evil to me.
I mean, yeah, I get it. There's been a lot of pounding of the fists and pointing of the fingers, and of course Elizabeth Warren, who I don't know why she came out and talked about how the deregulation, they put regulation in place in 2008 when the other collapse happened, and then that was rolled back in 2018 with bipartisan support, and, you know, but I don't know why progressives, like, best speakers always just look like a mad high school principal.
Right.
Like, do you guys not get that vibe from Elizabeth Warren? Like, when she's really ticked off?
Yeah, yeah. Her head starts to shake.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I like her. It's like, I don't know if you guys ever have.
I don't like when she gets mad, though. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems.
There's something about it that feels like I'm getting yelled at.
Yeah.
When she gets mad, too, it's almost like, you know, Pee Wee's Big Adventure would put tape on his face and pull his face in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's almost like when she gets angry, her eyebrows get real sharp and, like, her face just changes. Like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we in eighth grade.
Just a face shifter.
Yeah. In eighth grade, like, it's one of those things where, like, we had a teacher and she was new, and so the class kind of was running all over her. And at one point, like, I will admit up front that I was the biggest of the instigators.
Sure,
but I wasn't the only instigator. And, like, the whole, so at some point the principal is like, this is the whole class is to blame. Mm. So she came in and read us the Riot Act. And like, when every time I see Elizabeth Riot, it has the same energy as that.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I told y'all that this was going to happen. And you're just like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Elizabeth Warren.
Like, yeah, stop momming me, Mom.
Yeah, it's really, and like, Bernie's kind of the same way. He's just a angry vice principal. And just,
yeah, but he's like kind of chill though.
He wears mittens.
Like,
he's
got a different energy where when he gets mad, I laugh. Like, I think it's hilarious. When he's
but it's so,
like, I'm like, he's gonna say something shitty about the Republican Party, and it's just gonna be funny.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Warren, it's always like, I don't know. It's just a weird feeling. Like you, I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like
there's
Bernie's
just always something I couldn't tell about Elizabeth Warren on, like, when they were, like, running, that, like, I picked Bernie over her. There was not really much of a difference other than I just like Bernie's attitude better.
He's the principal that didn't say, okay, you want to be tough? You can be tough, but you're going to be tough in that chair, and I'm not going to talk to you about it because you're just wrong. You're wrong about it, and that's all there is, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore.
That's the best Bernie I've heard.
Yeah.
So that's so good.
I wasn't planning on doing a Bernie. I didn't. That's my first Bernie.
Really? Justin sometimes does that, and you're like, what the hell?
That's a good Bernie.
Yeah.
Got the essence of Bernie in there. Yes. Your soul switched out.
As I get older, I get more Bernie. More sound. Okay. There are many theories, though, about the Silicon Valley bank collapse. And we're not going to talk about all of them. I will mention one that is particularly relevant because of what I mentioned prior to the pod, but we've also talked about it recently. As many people think, this is all part of a pre-planned exercise to cause a collapse in the traditional banking industry just as the central bank introduces its digital currencies. So there are many people.
Of course, why not?
Yeah. There are lots of people that believe that the central banking system intends to switch us all over to digital currencies and move away from the dollar. And then the collapse of a bank like this, right, would further send shockwaves to people as to like the dangers of the dollar as our currency.
So you're saying that
sounds about right to me.
Yeah. So you're saying, repeat that for me real quick. I was hearing it opposite than what you said it.
What their idea is that it's a pre-planned collapse.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a small bank. I'm saying compared to the big banks, this wasn't Goldman Sachs.
Right. You
got to
start small. You got to see what happens.
But it was enough of a pre-planned collapse to drive people to widely accept the upcoming central bank digital currency, which we've talked about.
Okay. Like, yeah. Okay.
Like the powers that be want to switch us to a digital currency. Mm-hmm. And so this is another way to say, yeah, maybe we need to rethink our whole banking system and quit, you know, move away from our reliance upon the U.S. dollar.
Interesting. Okay.
Which again, if you want to, if you're someone who's interested in that and you want to flesh that conspiracy out, it goes deep into the world of the Great Reset, where the digital currency is the standard for. You know the Great Reset, Jason?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't. Like, you'll have to explain it.
It's a World Economics Forum phrase that was part of, it was bandied about during the pandemic, where many people in the World Economics Forum and in other groups associated that, including banking groups, Bilderberg, and these sort of forums that get together and decide, like, they talked about it. Maybe this is the time for a great reset, where we rethink much of how our culture and our societies are organized. And out of that grew things like the resurgence of the 15-minute city, which is now making a comeback. And
what is that?
The 15-minute city is this idea. It's really not nearly as controversial as it's become. It was an urban design
theory. Oh, I heard about this. Yeah, go ahead.
So it's an urban design theory that we should design cities or redesign cities so that within 15 minutes of you had everything that you need. You have parks, you have schools, you have shops, you have restaurants within a 15-minute drive. And so that what it means is that a public transportation system is really just trying to kind of move people through those 15-minute cities.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it reemerged as part of the Great Reset. We're like, let's rethink how our world is organized.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theorists think like, yeah, this is all part of what they want. They want to keep you in your home with a bogus pandemic. They want you to live off a fake currency that just exists in no world. Mm-hmm. And then they want to tell you, like, you don't really need to leave your home. You just need to stay right where you are because we've built everything to be 15 minutes of you. Walk everywhere.
I'm in, dude. Getting an apartment above a shopping center. You're like, I can go down, watch a movie. I can go to Target. I can go to Chick-fil-A.
Unless you conceive of that not as a liberating thing, but as a larger jail cell.
Yeah, but these people don't even fucking travel. These people have never been outside. Well, that's the other problem. States. You're like, man, you told me I got to stay home. It's like, you never left.
Yeah, but if you live in a flyover state, that's where you're really like, ain't keeping me.
Nope.
Johnny's bar is a good hour from here. I ain't moving closer to that.
No, don't bring that closer. I like to drive drunk.
So So again, we're not really talking about.
Gives me time to sober up.
Yeah. I got to be sober by the time I get home for my wife.
I love that video that's been circulating recently of when they like banned driving.
Oh,
with
yes.
a beer, and them guys are like, they're taking the rights away. When you work a hard day, all you want to do is have a 4 or 5 beers driving home. And so now we can't do that.
Like, there's one they interview. It's a mom with her kid in the seat next to her. And she's like, yeah, what? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's wrong. And I'm like, your kid doesn't have a seatbelt on and he's holding a beer. Yeah. Like, fucking what the hell?
Yeah, I never realized what was going on until I was an adult and had kids. But when I was in middle school in Jacksonville, Florida, I went to like this crazy middle school that was 7th through 12th grade. And it was a solid 45 from the house.
Oh, wow.
Which was a long drive. Like, we took a bus, but like when it really sucked was like a school dance or something.
Oh, man. Brutal. And, late night.
It was like, we're like, parents were like, hey, if we drive, will you pick up? And my stepdad would often be the one to pick us up. And God damn, did he have a big Jack and Coke. Like, I'm talking like a big gulp. I didn't realize it at the time till I was an adult. When he was like, damn, he would show up with a full liquor drink.
Damn.
Driving us home, man. I get it now because, like, when your kid's like, hey, what time are you going to be out till? And they're like, can you pick me up at midnight? You're like, I was planning on being real buzzed by midnight tonight.
Oh, man, brutal.
It's like, can you Uber home?
Yeah,
I've never done that. Although I went to a show last week or this week. No, last week.
Okay.
It was the first time my son DD'd.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, did you pay him?
No. I took him to the show.
Oh, yeah. They might show. Be giants.
They
That's
might
right.
be giants. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was like, hey, I'll take you to the show if you drive. And he was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Let me tell you this real quick. Let me give you an update on Bojangles Hard Tea. Halfway through, you forget about the taste. I'm wrecked. It's literally 20 minutes into the podcast.
I'm on my second one.
Oh, shit. Jeez. I'm going to have to fucking take the bus home. This is crazy.
I want to just mention that prior to the pod, I was chastised for my drinking habits by these two guys, you know?
Only because...
Yeah, this is the first alcohol drink I've had in months, I guess.
Oh, really?
Well, good for you. Man. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I just don't like drinking. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it makes me feel.
I get it. I'm getting there.
I like
it. I'm gonna start back.
Yeah. Thanks, Bojos. Is that how you... What's the abbreviation of Bojangles?
Bojangles.
Okay.
Bojangles.
Bojangles.
Yeah, I've heard Bojangles.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not Bojo.
No, there's no O after that. Well. No,
yeah.
Maybe Boja?
I don't think abbreviations have to obey any grammatical rules, by the way.
No.
Okay. You know, Bolus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to go into a crazy theory about this bank that I've been reading about, and I went down deep into the rabbit hole of it.
Okay.
And it has to do with the venture capital firm. It's called InQtel, or it was once called InQuit.
Wait.
InQuit. IN-Q.
Oh, hyphen. IT. Okay. I was thinking of it.
Now it's called InQtel. And it even had a name before that.
Oh, wow.
But it was a venture capital firm started by, in 1999, any guesses?
Warren Buffett.
That's a good guess. No.
We got
Bill Gates.
No, that's not a good guess.
sorry.
That's just not.
That's his name. All right,
bring in the
person.
Next guest. Jason's off the show.
It was the Central Intelligence Agency.
Oh, shit. No kidding.
Yeah, in 1999, the CIA decided that they needed to jump into the venture capital game, not to make money, but to leverage essentially some of the cutting-edge technology that was out there and be able to invest in some of that as well as take some of their technology and then either share it with or give it to startups to improve. And so it was a sort of symbiotic relationship. And so like kind of one of the best examples is that they invested heavily in this security system that was being developed for Las Vegas casinos, which was the system that can do facial recognition and can see eyes and determine behaviors and whether a reaction's genuine. Mm-hmm. They invested heavily in that. Las Vegas, obviously, they tested it. And then the CIA has now co-opted it to use for surveillance in airports and other places to sort of locate terrorism.
Sure.
Which, usually when you're fighting terror, most Americans will allow any violation of their civil rights.
Absolutely. That you just say that it's to stop these people and like, fucking take it all away. Yeah.
But there's other aspects of this that are more troubling, this relationship between the CIA and Google. They made $5+ million back in 2001 or two, I can't remember exactly the year, when they sold their own internal application known as Keyhole to Google.
Oh.
And guess what Keyhole became?
Ooh. Keyhole.
It's not what you think, probably.
I know. It sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does. It was what was the software that anchored Google Maps.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Google Maps was originally a CIA-developed application that combined all the surveillance data from all the satellites across the world and allowed the CIA to drill down which a lot of people are like, that's really troubling. How do we 100% know that all of your Google Maps searches aren't somehow still tied back into some database?
Right.
And how do we know
that they definitely are?
Yeah. That's why I still print out my MapQuest.
Sure. Yeah.
I do MapQuest. I print it out and I take it with me.
I have a gazetteer, man. I don't even.
Dude, going back to MapQuest, you're disgusting. Just let them have the data.
No, they're not getting my shit at all. I'm going to lose my way at least 10 times. I have to schedule 3 extra hours for a half hour trip.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah,
you get in a fight.
Yeah.
Can you read a map, Jason? Like an old school road map. I mean, my kids can't. I don't know.
Could, but like, I can tell. Yeah, I can read.
Wait, people can't read maps? Map,
but
my son.
Yeah, like I'm confused with the question.
I know. Yeah, because we're smart. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, look, if a voice isn't telling my son which way to go.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't know how to if you know where you are on the map and it has an icon moving along the map, but if you I can open a map and if somebody says get to this point and I know that point, I can find the roads and I can write down the directions, turn right here, north here. I can find some landmark and be like, okay, I'm going to go. It's going to be roughly this many. I can look at a scale and tell me how many miles roughly. Oh right,
yeah.
My kids have no idea.
They were never Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts?
I don't want them.
Weeblos?
I don't want them to be assaulted.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I care about
that's where
my
we
kid.
Keep our Catholics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had a version of this when I was a kid. My brother and I, my brother was sitting shotgun, and my mom was driving. We had a single mom at this point, and we were lost, like you don't get lost anymore.
Sure.
Like, no phone, no idea what city we're in. Mm-hmm. We're just lost.
And no water.
Like,
we had no idea. And so we would drive and we would come to an intersection and she would ask my brother, which way do you think we should go? And he would go like left.
What
she would go right.
Shit?
And
what?
She would go right.
What?
Every time.
He was going on like homing birding.
He was just like, it was just like left.
That's
amazing. She would go right. And then she'd get the next one. He'd be like, which way? Left. Or he would go say right. And he said in his head, like, he kind of had a sense of where the highway that we're trying to get back to was. We got even more lost.
Yeah.
And I mean like where it's like we were supposed to be somewhere and we were like 4 or 5 hours late.
Oh my God.
Because we were that Like, we finally found a payphone. And again, this is just life back in the 70s and 80s. Like, we just didn't know where we were going. And you try to find somebody, we couldn't find anybody. We were just lost in the sticks. It was rough.
What a horrible time. Like, three-fourths of your years just being lost and scared.
It was brutal. I drove cross-country when I graduated high school. Drove all the way to ECU. Drove cross-country in my 1984 Chevy Chevette with a friend of mine. And had a flat tire, no GPS, and had to find our way and just, like, find our way back to the highway. But we had to drive so far off, find our way back. Told my dad, I had three flat tires on the whole trip. And my dad was like, man, I'm surprised you made it. I was like, you let me go? Thinking I would just die out there?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Well, goodbye, son.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't think I prepared you for it.
Yep. Yeah, he was like, man, I'm surprised you even made it. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, well, there was, you know, in 1999, when we're talking about GPS was around, CIA's investing in startup companies. And one of those startup companies in 1999 was headed by a guy named Joe Firmage. And if you've never heard of Joe Firmage, he was, in 1999, one of the brightest of the bright of Silicon Valley.
Okay.
He was a Mormon genius turned, you know, like a software engineer type computer scientist who went to Silicon Valley and at 28 had a company that was worth $1 billion+.
Wow.
In Silicon Valley. That's $1 billion 1999.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's good money.
And then all of a sudden he has a dream or an experience. He walks away from all of it. And he says,
Mormons tend to have those.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Around 28. Yeah. Yeah.
They be having visions a lot, man.
Those Mormons be having them visions.
So he left his company.
I was talking to a Mormon and he just had a vision in front of him.
You're like, wake up. Slap his ass.
So in January of 1999, he leaves his position as the CEO of US Web, his billion-dollar company. And he goes on a mission to convince not only Silicon Valley startups, but the American people that the technology which his company was built on and most of Silicon Valley was built on is actually extraterrestrial technology that the government and Silicon Valley have been
partnered in order to
develop this technology.
Crazy.
So
this feels like home.
Yeah, that phrase right there is when it's like when the mushroom come up happens. You're like, okay, let's settle in. Yeah, I'd like you get a warm feeling. Yeah. You're like, oh, aliens. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm cozy. Let's go.
Yeah.
So let me just clarify a couple of things. One, his business was valued at $2.5 billion in 1999, which is an incredible amount of money.
And that's a lot of, and has a lot of alien bucks.
Yeah. So he wrote a book about all of it. And the book claims that extraterrestrial beings have been making cameo appearances. Now he says this information was known amongst the elite of the elite of Silicon Valley. Like all your big Silicon Valley developers and high-end business people, they were all aware that the technology which they were being given by government entities like the CIA, who were heavily invested at this point in Silicon Valley, that it was all extraterrestrial in nature.
Wow.
And his book said that 51 years ago, the teachers, as he called them, revealed themselves to the U.S. government in the New Mexico desert, and that they gave them technology to help them understand what had accidentally been gifted to them, which was the Roswell spacecraft.
Wow.
And so computer...
Oh, goodness. just like, that's a little bit far. It's like the Amazon knows that the technology for the Kindle came from...
You know what it is it is like semiconductors and lasers and fiber optics and all the stuff which essentially goes into supercomputers, which honestly supercomputers and data storage are at the heart of something like Amazon. Exists because he figured out a way to catalog books and sell them, and then that became like, well, we can just expand this across and these integrated data networks, mm-hmm. and then we can, mm-hmm. you know, right? So I don't know that Amazon is a great example, because Amazon actually came on really late and really fast. It's more of a beneficiary of this work that was going on.
Yeah, they just capitalized on it.
Right. Yeah.
But
so who are they saying actually knew about it? Because, so, like, to me, I feel like you wouldn't have to explain your little idea or, like, however it works. They're just like, it works. All right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Aliens,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
dude.
Who cares? I'm making
We're
money.
We're going to make money.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but hold that thought, because what he says is that the teachers helped them reverse engineer the wreckage from New Mexico and release to select companies mm-hmm. over the past 50 years the technology which essentially built the wealth of Silicon Valley. Oh, and okay. and that the entire startup technological industry is built on that technology. Now, by the way, this vision that he had, like essentially an mm-hmm. alien appeared to him and told him that he was going to build a craft to help people leave this earth.
How'd that work out?
It didn't mm-hmm. work out yet. Mm-hmm. But you know what,
yeah,
he's
had that dream.
he has said, and in some ways you're like, well, maybe he was right, because in like there's interviews with him you can find on YouTube in 1999 2000 where he's saying we are very, very close to creating anti-gravity technology, which wow. will finally allow us to travel in space, which we are now creating anti-gravity and technology, which will allow us to travel faster than the speed of light. So, I mean, he was maybe two decades early, but he said that he saw this all in a vision. And he stepped down from a $2.8 billion company that he built to the shame and scandal. I mean, he was sort of ostracized by the entire community.
Yeah, but he was for sort why? Of, like, why did he do, like, why couldn't he also have that vision and also still be in this company? That's a lot of years you're just waiting here and just be the CEO or whatever.
I think he thought that, well, a couple of reasons. One is I think he thought he had a higher purpose. So he wanted to not be encumbered with the idea of running a multi-billion dollar company. It's also hard because his company partnered with other companies to do certain amounts of work. To build things for them. And it's hard when it's like, he was called like the Fox Mulder of Silicon Valley. That was his nickname.
Oh, wow.
And that wasn't a compliment. It was like Fox Mulder, as we know, was sort of ostracized from the FBI and seen as a kook. That's how he was treated. Like, yeah, he was cool until he just went off the deep end with UFO stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, like, there's one interview I watched with him where it's like, you know, do you think you're crazy? He's like, I'll let the history books decide whether I'm crazy. And now he seems a lot less crazy now, you know, 20 years plus years later. But how this all relates back to the Silicon Valley thing is that there's this wild theory that the reason that the Silicon Valley Bank is collapsing is because all this technology that all these companies are built upon, it's valuable when it's the best technology in the world.
Oh.
But if aliens are impending.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you're like, why would I buy a new computer for $2,000 when I can just ask the aliens to do it and they can just, right? Like, in other words, there is technology that is far superior to what Silicon Valley has, which all the bank is based upon.
Right.
That is
you're saying aliens have better iPhones than us.
Yeah. You don't need an iPhone at all.
And they have checking with no fees.
It's all kinds of stuff. it's going to be. What is that company? There's some company that has no fee checking.
Yeah.
That's the theory is that the reason this bank was collapsing is because many people realized that, I mean, just this week, a Harvard professor and the Department of Defense released a paper that said that we believe there is an alien mothership in our solar system. Okay. Just this week.
I saw that, but I don't know. I didn't read. You can explain every detail of that because I'm super interested.
About the mothership?
Yes, about the mothership, because I saw that before we started, and I wanted to read more about it, but I didn't.
There was a daddy ship, but he went to get space cigarettes.
one of the professors is the same Harvard professor who one of the authors is the same Harvard professor who's. Do you remember that?
Avi Loeb.
Yeah, that's it.
Moana Munu. Moana, whatever the Hawaiian word
is. The space cigar that came through. Do you remember that thing a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that said that's an interstellar travel. That's a spaceship. Like he said, it's the only explanation for it, which did not go over well with his colleagues. So he's been open to the idea. Their point is that if we have all this evidence of craft, the math on it lends itself to say that there is a mothership in our solar system that where all these are coming from. They're not saying that there's a mothership. They're saying that theoretically that's the most likely scenario is that they're mothership. Now, also, gotcha. Just this week.
So we still don't know anything.
Right.
It's just like, okay. If we do math, okay, loser. Yeah. We have a mothership.
Yeah. There's that photo.
We have a mothership.
There's a photo from like 11 years ago, and then again just this week, 11 years almost to the day, of this like solar flare on top of the sun.
Oh, yeah, that thing is crazy.
It creates this like looks like a reverse tornado. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it totally looks like a ship connected to a gas pump. And people are like, that's the mothership that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And there have been explanations as to why that happened. But it is crazy. The original one that came out first, when that tornado-looking thing goes away, it looks like something blasts off into space. It looks like something leaves.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. And again, that's probably just, you know.
You know what? I read a scientist saying what it was. Is like, on the surface of the sun, we have these, like, I don't know what he's like. We have these iron deposits that create this thing.
These magnetics and
I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? Like you've
science.
No, that doesn't make sense. Because he was talking about it like it was an obvious fact of science, and I'm like, no one's ever been anywhere close to that to do samples and tell what that you know like.
Yeah, but we can point something at the.
Yeah, but you can't tell what iron element.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, they do that all the time. They do spectrograms that like measure minerals and chemicals in the atmosphere of planets far away. Okay. It's a whole thing they do.
Okay.
I think science is a confidence game.
Yeah.
I think I will happily be wrong, but my guess is that whatever they think about the sun, that 100 years from now they're going to be like, we were.
Yeah, I think scientists speculate a lot, but they're like, well, this is the most likely scenario, so that's the fact.
And that's how they say it.
Yes.
Because he had a name for it. He's like, not like we call that a Falkland runner. He was like, yeah, that's a Falkland runner. And I'm like, no, you made up a name for something and called it a Falkland runner. It's not what it is.
Yeah,
like, it's not like that's a tree.
Right.
No, you just made some shit up.
Sure.
Granted, it's shit I don't understand completely or at all.
Yeah, but still, it is tough when you're like, we are thousands of miles away from this thing, so that's definitely what it is.
Yeah, because one picture came back from James Webb, and science were like, we have to redo all the math.
Sure.
Like, we estimated X, Y, and Z, and we got one photo back, and we're like, whoa, we were way wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we could get a better picture of the sun, and there could literally be Oompa Loompas there working on the surface, and we'd be like, well, that was all wrong. We got to figure this out now.
Yeah.
So I'm not ruling out that a mothership hooked up to the sun and refueled for, its next trip around the solar system. You know, I mean, that's what the
Do you
sun
think
is.
They have to get out of their ship to fill up.
No, it's like a suck. No, it's like a jersey. They pump
it's
for
literally
you.
Literally the surface of the sun out here.
and you're still like hundreds and thousands of miles from the surface trying to refuel. You're like, I gotta walk all the way there.
I almost think that the sun might be one of those things that's
just
like
snacks.
Closer.
It's like it's like actually pleasant. It's hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And then right when you get to it, it's like this thing where it's like freakishly.
Oh, that'd be fun. You know, so you can just hang
out. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
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 It's just
like a spiky fruit.
Yeah. Dangerous on the outside, tasty on the inside.
Yeah. I think. I think that probably the Silicon Valley Bank collapsed because of rolled back deregulation in 2018, that allowed them to over leverage investments in risky stuff. And then now that the economy has fallen post COVID, they didn't expect. And now we have this high inflation interest rate.
That's a dumb story, though.
Yeah, who wants to talk about that? I'd rather think that, like, the reality is that all these companies they've invested in is all from reverse engineered space technology, which suddenly is irrelevant when the actual aliens get here.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah, that's really outdated tech. Well, let's show you this.
Yeah, it's they're like, giving us like their Walkmans and stuff they don't even use anymore.
Exactly,
you know?
That's exactly.
Well, there's yard sale technology.
There's a time that they sold horses and cars on the same lot. Like there was a time in history when you could choose a horse or a car, and people were like, why would I choose that fucking horse? Like I'm not gonna go to Silicon Valley.
They sold. That's great.
Yeah, if you go to old Raleigh's Instagram page, I think they posted a picture of like someone buying a horse, this old guy buying a horse when there was a brand new car next to him.
Man, that reminds me of the first time I bought a car, I made an offer on a truck and the guy was like, you know, that's just not, can you get up to here? I was like, no. He's like, well, we're just in the wrong truck. Let me show you a couple things. Mm-hmm. And he takes me out and it's just a horse. It's like, this is what you're looking at. You're like, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. You rode that horse to school.
This is one horsepower.
That's right. That's right. God,
that's a big step down or up, depending on. Yeah. Man,
it's a rougher ride
for sure.
I wonder how the suspension was in a Model T. Either it might be the same ride.
I bet you the original car was probably priced considerably the same as a horse.
Yeah,
I bet you a new horse and a new car were like. Well, a couple hundred bucks more, I can get you in a car.
Yeah.
But it was dangerous. Cars were super dangerous.
What was cheaper, feeding the horse or putting gas and maintaining the car? What do you think the cost difference between that was?
I would think the car would still be cheaper, right? Because you can get, back then, you can get a gallon of gas for a penny.
Yeah, but there's also grass. was free. But they had to eat a lot of straw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, everything was cheaper back then. So what was actually cheaper? Could you be rich and have the car, and it's actually cheaper?
It's got to be cheaper to care for a car.
Yeah, got to be cheaper.
Because a horse shits on the daily.
Yeah, your car won't.
And you can walk into it a lot because it's your horse. It's parked outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just, you have to have a barn. You can't put a horse in the driveway, right? Like, you got to have a covered.
Did they ever put license plates on horses? Like, how do you know if it gets stolen, it's yours?
You know what?
Registered?
Branded.
Oh, that's what it was. That makes way more sense.
They brand cows. I don't know if they brand horses.
They do. Yeah.
I haven't got to that part of Yellowstone yet.
I lived in an island off the coast of Puerto Rico. It's owned by the Puerto Ricans in the U.S. called Vieques, and they have these wild horses there. Like, you just drive around, there's just these horses. And I had been there prior to living there, and then I lived there, and I learned that they're not wild horses. They're free range horses.
Oh.
And so on like Friday nights, like these local kids, when I say kids, I mean like teenagers.
Sure.
They'd get in their trucks and they would ride around and I'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, we're looking for my horse.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, how do you know which one's yours? And it's like, you brand it. So they would find their horse, saddle it up, and then they would ride it through town as like kind of like, crazy. Like drag racing, like, you know, you put your top down,
cruising,
you know, then you, when you got done, you just let it go, and then you go find it next weekend.
What a crazy thing.
Beautiful thing.
That's like, yeah, that's like having a pet cat you got to run down every now and then.
Yeah, when you want to take a picture with it. I loved it, man.
That's wild.
It was great. Sometimes you'd like, the traffic, you'd be like driving down the road, because the roads were like, 1.5 cars, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
like,
I know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So you'd be driving and you're like, oh, it's traffic, what's going on? And after a while, you get out of your car and you're like, what is the holdup? And you walk up and there'd just be like two horses just going at it in the street, just full on horse sex.
Hell yeah.
Cars both ways, just like,
I don't know. Yeah, they like it when you look.
They do. Yeah, they're real exhibitionists.
If I was swinging at meat, I would be doing it in the road too, man. I'd mount everybody. Yeah.
You idiots.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think that Silicon Valley, the collapse, is one, just a product of deregulation, E. Warren style? Mm-hmm. is it the foreshadowing of a switch to cryptocurrency?
Okay.
Part of the Great Reset, where we no longer have cash. Mm-hmm. Your money is, you know, delivered to you wirelessly. You really never touch money. You don't do anything.
No.
Right? You may not need any money at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you may just be like, you live in this 15-minute city. You have this thing. You eat kind of the same thing every day. You go to the, you know, you go to a restaurant. You go get your ramen noodles. You sit alone. You walk back to your house. And your credits go down.
Oh, no.
And everyone gets a certain amount of credits each week. Or do you think that alien technology is what built Silicon Valley Bank? Ooh. And now the aliens are arriving via mothership. That sure. All that technology and information is like, everyone's like, hey, dude, all this is about to just. Yeah. All these electric car companies.
Yeah.
Like, I was heavily invested in an electric car company until last week.
Oh, really?
I sold it all.
Was it the one that's moving to North Carolina?
Oh.
No.
A Chinese company?
No.
Tesla?
What's the Chinese company that's coming?
I don't know.
Yeah, what is it? They're building a whole factory in North Carolina.
Yeah. No.
Rivian?
No, it's not Rivian. It's not Rivian. It's
Rivian's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's some other one. It's
I'm invested in them. I've been seeing them pop up in Asheville a lot, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, they're dope.
Asheville people are catching on.
Yeah, they're cool.
We have a few in Raleigh. No, these aren't even on the market yet. At least they're cars. But I mean, all that technology is done. If it's just like, if aliens show up and they're like, why don't you guys just put a fusion engine in there, solar fusion engine, and you just you don't need fuel at all.
Yeah, it still takes time to adopt.
Well, it does.
But not when there's aliens.
But not for a speculative stock.
Oh, of
where
course.
You're like, I'm investing in this, so 10 years down the road, then you're just like, fuck this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
10 years down the road, this is going to be worthless.
Yeah, you just hop to the thing.
You just go to something else, right?
Yeah.
Bananas. You just, like, fresh fruit's going to be a commodity. Yeah. Rare.
I mean, my first thought is my heart hurts from this hard sweet tea. Like, I'm literally having chest pains. I was like, I got to. Maybe it's just when I finish it, it'll go away.
It tasted more and more like tea the more you drank, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It was really weird.
That's what, like, the tea was all at the bottom.
Weird taste just went away.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys not shake it up?
It's just like,
are you supposed to shake it?
Yeah, it's probably all vodka.
No, but that's the fecal
top.
Matter at the bottom. You don't want that. You got to get a, you got to do a pour over.
I think you got to.
I think the fecal matter's on top. That's what we tasted first.
Oh, it may have been.
And now it tasted better, you know? Because we drank all the fecal matter and got to the bottom of it.
I think you definitely should have stirred. I bet it says on there somewhere.
Yeah, it's like strain over charcoal to filter out fecal. Yeah.
Wait, are you supposed to shake these up?
I think you're supposed to stir them up a bit. No way that's not. No way the alcohol doesn't separate out.
No, of course it doesn't separate out.
Yeah, something happened.
Beer doesn't separate out.
Something happened. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Tea does. You know, tea.
It's not actually tea. It's clearly malt liquor. So my thought is I think that people that run banks are fallible and their stomachs are always smaller than their eyes. That's what I think. And people are often very greedy when it comes to getting the money and loaning it, and they are just fallible in that way. So banks collapsing is something that happens on the reg.
On the reg, that's good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, that's slang I heard. Reg. Happens all the time, and it's going to continue to happen. Luckily, it was a smaller bank. But the fact that we've talked about this multiple times on the podcast, that Roswell has often been used to introduce technology to companies. John Lear of plane fame, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
John Lear said back in the 70s, I think, that when I said on the pod before, that we have the technology to go to the stars now, and you're telling me that this guy is like, well, I was told that we're going to have this new technology now. He's still downstream. He's still downstream from the people that have the technology now. So we're already like light years behind where we're at anyway. So he's just speculating on a speculation on a speculation. So,
but he also had a dream about it.
Yeah, but I dreamt I was in a hot tub. And I started making out with this woman, and then I opened my eyes, and it was a bear. And I was in the hot tub with another bear, but that other bear didn't tell me I was making out with a bear.
Did you walk away from a $2.8 billion company that you built?
No, but I did quit my part-time job shortly after.
I went to train bears.
I was like, I got to reevaluate.
I fucked this bear, and now I got to quit.
That's right. You know what? I realized that money doesn't matter, and I got to reevaluate my
life. Maybe I'm putting too much stock in the fact that dream where you quit such a lucrative and you know, like, and also, the, you know, he's one of those guys that he doesn't have any of the weirdness or oddity that some of these guys, have any of that. Neither like the weirdness nor the sort of over exuberance of like some guys. He sounds like a multi-billion-dollar CEO that's like, no, I know what I saw. I talked to very reasonable people, people that are unassailable. Their character cannot be impeached. And I saw it with my own two eyes that this is reality. And I'm just trying to get more and more people to understand that this is inevitably going to happen.
Yeah.
And here we are 23 years later where, I mean, all these, we're all downstream of this information. Sure. And now it's all sort of coming.
Yeah. I mean, they've said leaps of technology happened after Roswell, stuff that wasn't explainable. They think it was from something else. So, yeah, I'd be...
Well, what if it's just all of that is what's going to make us go live in our homes off of digital currency and only go walk within 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's fine. I got about 35 years left in my life. Why not? I don't care. What am I going to do? Hang out? I'm fine.
Yeah.
give it all. Just put.
I've done all my adventuring.
That's right. I can't walk further than 15 miles anyway. Just give it to me. How about you, Jason? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all plausible that like this was planned, but most likely it was just, you know, like deregulation, like from Trump or whatever. Like that's what caused it. Because if someone can take advantage of a system, they're going to.
Absolutely.
Like, and anytime you take a regulation away where someone can benefit from it, someone's going to benefit from it, and it might end poorly.
Right. And of course, the banks never liked Dodd-Frank.
Oh yeah.
They never liked it. They lobbied. Against it, and they fought it as soon as it went into action, because the last thing that people that make a lot of money want is for you to put regulations that say, yeah, you can't make that much more. Like, if you're going to keep making money, we need to provide safeguards that if you're wrong about your predictions, that your regular people aren't hurt by it. But that never happens.
Nope.
Yeah, you're right. I also believe that, like, eventually we are getting pushed to, like, a digital currency. Yeah. And it's pretty much like I just use my debit card. So like,
what do you?
The American dollar is basically just.
You have a debit. Like, you got to switch to credit, man. You got to get out that debit thing, man. It'll take your money. Watch out.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I just use credit.
Okay.
I was gonna say, use my credit card and just pay it off.
Okay, I have a debit card account, but I move money into it when I, like, if I'm like going, I'll be like, okay, I'll just move a couple $100 into there. So if anybody steals my debit card, just FYI, if you're listening, you're gonna get very little.
Yeah, well, First Citizens Bank, I got someone's doing wire transfers from my account, and
that's great.
They got 600, then they tried 5,000, then they tried another one, and it took 2 months to get my money back because I had a debit card. I'm switching.
Yeah, that's, I heard stories about that. That's the reason I switched over, because like I just had like someone swipe my debit card for like gas or something like that. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? I'm done with that debit card mess. I just have a credit card and I just pay it off or move the money over whenever I want something.
Yeah. Someone stole my money to pay off their credit card. They stole my money.
I'm in with that person. Yeah, knows what's up.
They're transferring money from my account to their Amex. I was like,
that's pretty cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good friends now.
Yeah, I had a card for a while that was the safety security protocol on it was so sensitive. And I was driving through the night to go to Louisiana, and like I filled up with gas, and like no, it didn't go through.
Oh, we had that happen a lot.
And I was like, what the heck? And then I called, and there was like not open. Luckily, I had enough cash, at the time to like pay it off. And then that same card, this is crazy, that same card. So I went to Louisiana, called him, like, I'm traveling Louisiana back. Like 6 months later, somehow my card got duplicated.
Crazy. And
somebody was at a class reunion in a small border town in Mexico and paid off, like, you know, like a $600 drink tab.
Crazy.
Rincon, Texas.
Yeah.
And I was like, your fucking algorithm didn't trigger for that. A tank of gas in Georgia and you guys shut me down. And they're like, sorry, that's just how it's all computers. And I'm like,
It makes no sense. When we were on our RV trip, we called our credit card company. We're like, we're going to be in every state in the United States. So don't cancel our shit. Literally, it happened four times.
At one time.
Someone used it in this state. I was like, we're in this state. Every time. I was like, this sucks.
That's weird. I must have a shitty, like, credit card company because, like, after one time of, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, doing a show here. So, I called them beforehand. Then they just never called back ever for anything.
Really?
Wow. It's like I forgot, like maybe I forgot to tell them that like I came back.
they're like, this guy's like, a big touring comedian.
Stopped in any state, never called them, never let them know. My next purchase is a surprise to us both.
They're like, this guy's a big comedian. His name's Jason Webb. We got to follow him. He's all over the country. It's like, nope, that's not it. Well, not that you couldn't be. You're very funny.
Well, speaking of,
I'm definitely not traveling.
What's going on with your comedy, man? Are you getting up in Asheville? Are you on the road at all? Are you doing a new sort of podcast that I see on?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Media? Yeah,
you're outside, right? You're fucking outside for this thing.
Yeah, I do a podcast. Sounds like it's a fake podcast. Just because like I was just bored and like me and my friend we always have like podcast ideas and so I was like, well, let's just like film it and see what happens. And then like through practicing doing podcasting, we just like post our clips of it.
And there's no actual podcast.
There's no actual podcast. It's called Fake Podcast, the podcast.
That's awesome.
So
I love it.
It's just TikTok clips. So,
but you're gonna get so big with this, you're gonna have to start a podcast.
Yeah, right. That's how it's gonna work.
Oh yeah, that's what's funny. Like some of them have done well, and like people would be like, "Where can I watch the whole thing?" I was like, "Nowhere."
You tell me.
It says Fake Podcast, the podcast. I guess that's confusing.
That's so funny. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Are you started to think about doing other ones, just like fake sneaker podcasts, fake like wrestling podcasts and stuff.
So what about comedy? Where can our listeners see you if you're performing anytime soon? Or
I perform pretty regularly here in Asheville. And at the end of the month, I think it's the 31st and 1st of April, I'll be at Good Nights.
Yes.
I hate that I'm not here for this. Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Where are you going to be, Shane?
I got a 10, what was that, 10K to run in Charleston.
A 10K? That's 10. Like twice as much as a 5K.
That's what they say.
20 miles.
No. Yeah. What is it?
It's 6.6.
How long is 5K?
3.1. Yeah, it's 6.2 miles is a 5K. 10K.
I ran a 5K last weekend, and my calves still hurt. I fucking killed myself.
Yeah.
What's with old people wanting to start running all of a sudden?
I don't get it.
No, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I feel like everybody that's like my age and up just feel like, you got to start running. Why? My knees are as bad as they've ever been. It's why would I start running now?
We're running from death.
One of the two.
Apparently, I'm a good runner. I found out, so that's why I'm doing it because it's the only thing I can do without trying.
I imagine so.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
My lanky ass,
got strong little legs.
I do my 5'6" body, 5'5" now thanks to the doctor.
You got like a 6'1" man's legs.
Yeah, I got a very short torso.
Well, this has been, as always, really fun to have you on.
Yeah.
Any social medias you want to share with the guests so they can find your fake podcast?
Sure. Everything's UHHH Jason Webb.
Perfect.
So that's YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, whatever.
Jason Webb. Yep.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
actually, Twitter might be Reverend Beanie Weenie. I don't know if I even get on Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
It's Reverend Beanie.
I've gotten off. I'm done. I just.
Do you still use your crypto? Crypto Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I barely get on that. Like, after I lost so much money on the NFTs, I was like, you know what? This Twitter can go to hell.
Yeah, Jason and I were deep in NFTs for a while.
Oh, I love it.
I still have a bunch of NFTs. I still have that big one, too. I won.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's worth about $1 now. I was worth about...
Bitcoin's way up.
It's worth probably -$30.
It was worth a lot.
Yeah, Bitcoin's almost up 100% this year.
Is it really?
In the year, it's rebounding.
I got
to
get
it. Man, they're moving us to digital currency. Every time the banks collapse, crypto is going to skyrocket. So,
And I mean, I still have a, like, I still haven't touched my crypto and my NFTs since, like, it started crashing. So I'm just like,
it'll go back up.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long wait this time. Usually it's not this long.
Yeah. No, it's kind of painful.
this seems like it could be forever.
Well,
you're like, it's like when you break up with a girl, it's like, oh, I guess she's just not going to call anymore.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun.
Yeah.
Love having you on, and we'll do it again sometime soon. And so make sure you check out his fake podcast. Keep listening to us. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Jason Webb.
Peace.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
That was fun.